Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop from Washington. I'm your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. I went to the mechanic the other day. My car was kind of on its last legs. It was making all kinds of noises. It was starting and stopping. It was making really a kind of terrible crunching sound. And some smoke started coming out of the hood. So I headed to my local auto mechanic, and I said, hey, can you fix this? He told me this major part I never heard of wasn't working, and that he needed to fix it, and it would cost me $500. And I said, well, what makes you think you know anything about that? He said, well, I've been doing this for 25 years. I have a degree from a really good auto mechanic school, and I've seen this happen before. I'm pretty sure I know what it is, but, you don't want to get it fixed? I said, no! And I took my car, and I headed with its smoke coming out of the hood and its crunching sound to the gym, and proceeded there to start lifting. I like to bench press. I went to bench press, and I picked some heavy weights on both sides, and I started to lift, and this big muscle-bound guy came over to me, and he said, hey, dude, you need a spotter. I said, what? He said, you need a spotter. I said, what makes you think you know anything about that? He said, well, I've been working out for 15 years. You can see I've done pretty well. I've won bodybuilding championships, and I know that you can get hurt if you do that without a spotter. I'm just telling you, I'm just trying to be nice. I'm just to be helpful. I said, screw you. I'm doing it my way. So I went and I lifted a weight too heavy, and what can I say? The bar fell on top of me, and the bodybuilder came, got the bar off me, but I knew I was hurting, so I headed to the doctor. Went to the emergency room. My arm was practically falling off its socket. I went to the doctor, and I went to the emergency room, and he said, do you need emergency surgery? We got to fix that rotator cuff right away, or you could lose your arm. And I said, what do you know about medicine? He said, well, I'm a graduate of Johns Hopkins University. It's one of the best universities in the country. I've fixed hundreds of broken shoulders, and I can tell you that if you don't get something fixed right away, you're going to lose your arm. I said, screw you! Okay, you've probably gathered that none of that story is true. It's true that I don't know much about cars. It's true that I don't know that much about medicine. It's also true that, I'm not the biggest bodybuilder in the world either. Can't say I'm an expert at the gym. But I know enough to know that other people know more than me. I know enough to know that I'm not an expert in everything, that there are things I know nothing about. We could add to that popular culture or a lot of art. I know some art, but not that much. Sports? I don't know a lot about sports. I don't. And as the liner to my show sometimes talks about, I know very little about Kim Kardashian. Yeah, I know what I know. And I know what I don't know. I happen to know something about economics. And I don't mean to brag, though some will take it that way. But yeah, I have a degree, magna cum laude, out of Harvard College in economics, studied under Martin Feldstein, Ronald Reagan's chief counsel of economic advisor. So guess what? He was a conservative, but he knew economics. I have a degree from Yale Law School. I practiced law for a number of years. I'm a Virginia State delegate. I've been following politics and policy for decades. I used to work in Congress for Congressman Barney Frank. Mark, what are you doing? Why are you bragging on the air? I can hear you saying. I'm simply stating a fact. Okay? I happen to know what I know. I also happen to know what I don't know. When people call in on my radio show, you may remember the caller I had on Monday. This guy said, and this was a guy who really showed sort of neo-Nazi tendencies. He was telling me that he's not a racist. It's terrible to call people racist. He just really doesn't like Jews. And then he proceeded to rail on me for being Jewish. I hadn't mentioned the fact that I was Jewish on that particular show, and I don't think he was a regular listener, but this guy had a problem with Jews, and he had a problem with me. He had a problem with me. He said I was being smug. How dare I presume that I know more about politics and policy than he does? Well, I have certain credentials, but for him, they were meaningless. Much like in my story, it would be meaningless to me if I rejected the car man, the mechanic, and the doctor, and the bodybuilder. I wonder if people would think the car mechanic and the doctor and the bodybuilder were being smug. Mark Grimaldi is my producer. He has no idea I'm going to do this. I'm totally surprising him. But Mark Grimaldi, you probably, if you've seen me on Facebook, you know, you probably can't tell that much about me. I'm sure you've never met Mark Grimaldi. So I'm about 5'8", 5'9", with shoes on a good day. Mark Grimaldi's about 6'5". If Mark Grimaldi saw me in a grocery store, Mark, you saw me in a grocery store. You don't know me, okay? You just see me in a grocery store.
Okay.
And I'm reaching out to get that last bottle at the back of the top shelf. And I can't reach it. I'm too short, okay? I just can't reach it. I start to climb on the shelf. I can't reach it. And you walk over. You're a nice guy. You'd probably say, can I help you reach that bottle or something like that, right?
Yeah, I've actually done that at the grocery store.
Okay, because you happen to be much taller than I am. Now, what if I said to you, you jerk, who do you think you are? You think just because you're taller than me, you can reach everything? You think I can't handle it myself? Screw you. Go away. What would you think about me?
That you were a jackass.
Exactly. That I was an idiot and a jerk. So what is it about the Trumpists, the people who support Donald Trump, that are in praise of ignorance? Donald Trump just the other day tweeted a tweet. He said that there was massive fraud in California and Virginia and New Hampshire. He got mad because he got under skin that, you know, he's losing the popular vote by more than 2.3 million votes. They're still counting. Most of them are in California. Virginia and New Hampshire were the two states where Hillary Clinton won in the closest way. Now, if Donald Trump felt that there was any fraud, he knows what to do. He could do what Jill Stein of the Green Party did. He can use his millions of dollars, and he's got plenty, and go do a recount. And he'd have every legal right to do it. He didn't have any evidence. He didn't do a recount. He wasn't out to prove something was true. He just stated it was true. And everyone came and talked about it. He also said, we remember in the campaign, that Ted Cruz's dad may have killed John F. Kennedy. I point that out not because it's unique in that, well, Donald Trump lied all the time. It's just one of his more egregious lies. Now, when he tells these lies, you have to ask your fellow Trumpists, do you believe them? Do you believe he's going to build a wall and make Mexico pay for it? Do you believe he's going to bring coal back to the country? Do you believe he's going to give you a tax cut rather than the billionaire friends he's appointing to all his cabinet seats? And we could discuss any and all of these issues. Do you believe in, oh, I don't know, climate change, global warming? Do you accept scientific method? There's polls that show that for certain evangelical Christians, and no, I'm not attacking all Christians. I'm not even attacking all evangelical Christians. But for certain evangelical Christians, if you say you have a degree in science, they are less likely to believe what you say. I had a friend the other day, a good, very, very smart friend of mine, that said, you know what, we have to play down our education. We can't talk about education. People are condemning the educated elite. They don't trust people with degrees anymore. So, you know, if you know something, don't say that you do. Let people believe their own lies. It's impolitic. It's impolitic. It is not smart politics to tell people or imply, you know, you really don't know what you're talking about. You don't know how to fix your car. You can't reach that bottle on the top shelf. It's not that the Mark Romaldi is better than me. He's just taller than me. It's not that the auto mechanic is smarter than me. He just has more training in that than me. And it's okay if the bodybuilder is stronger than me, and it's okay if the doctor knows more about medicine than I do. And guess what, Trumpus? It's okay to trust science. It's okay to trust education. When you start hating science, education, when you start not believing that someone can know more than you because, oh, that smug, arrogant jerk thinks he's better than me. Right, I could say, Mark Romaldi, oh, you think just because you're tall, you can reach that bottle. And Mark would smile and say, well, yeah, I am taller and I can reach that bottle. It's true. It's okay. But there are people pushing Democrats right now, pushing me right now, Mark. Don't tell people that they're idiots. It's not nice. Okay, I won't use the word idiot. I will simply say it's okay not to know something. It is not okay, though, to think that you know more precisely because you know less. Sometimes you have to be smart enough to know what you don't know and to be honest about it and humble about it. There's nothing wrong with education. There was a movie that came out, oh, I don't know, 20 years ago called Idiocracy. And the movie actually wasn't that good, but the premise was fantastic. The best part of the movie is the first 3 minutes. And the premise of the movie is that the educated scientists and doctors and philosophers and mathematicians and auto mechanics, the smart people, were so busy pursuing their intelligence that they didn't take the time off to have children. While the lazy, beer-guzzling, well, to use the movie's term, idiots, oh, they had lots and lots and lots of kids. And the premise was, it's actually based on the scientific principle of evolution, but the principle was that in several hundred years, if you were to freeze people who were just ordinary people today, 200, 300 years from now, with the educated people not reproducing and the less educated people reproducing, the normal people would suddenly be brilliant because society would devolve into ignorance. I'm not saying you have to agree with me on everything. I'm certainly not saying that. But I'm saying if you disagree with me, give me a logical argument. I believe in logic. I told you, I studied under Martin Feldstein. Martin Feldstein was a conservative. He was Ronald Reagan's Council of Economic Advisors chairman. He and I disagreed on several matters of policy, but we didn't disagree on some basic economic principles. And indeed, when he taught me, I listened. He was an expert. I did not listen because he was conservative, because truth, there's objective truth, and there's subjective truth. There are things that are empirically true. 2 + 2 = 4, my friends. And you can torture me all you want, but 2 + 2 will never equal 5. And no matter how much you torture me, even if you force me under pain of death to say 2 + 2 = 5, it doesn't mean I believe it, and it doesn't mean it's true. There are certain objective truths out there. Oh, Hillary Clinton's a killer. No, she's not. You have no evidence of that. Oh, she's a criminal. Well, what does criminal mean? Has she been indicted? No. Well, she should be indicted. Okay, fine. Make the argument. Show me the case law. What law are you referring to? Well, I don't know, but I read on the... Oh, okay. Then it comes down to reliable sources. But I want to know if I'm wrong here. I want to know what you're thinking. I want to know whether you believe that liberals should be careful about asserting truth, intelligence, education, for fear that we're going to be seen as these smug, horrible people, or whether there's something to be said for defending truth, intelligence, and education against the rise of a president who has made his mark, who's won his election, based largely on ignorance. 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275, right back after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, trying to defend education, intelligence. I shouldn't have to, right? It's okay to be knowledgeable about something. It's okay to know something about policy. In the world of Donald Trump, where truth is just another point of view, where education is not considered important, where he literally said, actually, I shouldn't say literally unless I have the exact quote, but something to the effect of, I love the poorly educated. It's pretty close to that. I'll get the exact quote for you. We have people who are telling me, Democrats, telling me, Mark, be careful now. Be careful now. You can't promote education. You can't say you know more than someone. You can't. I'll give you another example just the other day. I said on this program that Bill Clinton ran a surplus. And I talked about the fact that Democrats are better with fiscal conservatism, better with American budgets than Republicans are. And I gave my examples, you know, Reagan, Bush Sr., Bush Jr., Clinton, Bill Clinton, and Obama. And this guy goes to my Facebook page and says, I'm a liar. Bill Clinton didn't run a surplus. And then he cites some right-wing website. So I painstakingly show him that he did. So the guy then shows me other figures. He doesn't seem to understand the fact that if America owes more but has more in its bank account, that's actually reducing the debt. It's kind of like if the loan on your house goes from $100,000 to $50,000. Let me give you another example, the one I gave him. If the loan on your house goes from $100,000 to $110,000, but your bank account goes up from $50,000 to $100,000, you're richer than you were before. You owe $10,000 more, but you got $50,000 more, right? It's the same thing. When America has more in its bank accounts, you got to add that. And he didn't want to add that because, I don't know, his conservative blog told him not to. And I would show him Treasury figures. I would show him congressional figures. I would show him Republicans talking about the Bill Clinton surplus. I would show him stuff from the Congressional Budget Office and the Council of Economic Advisers and all. He just wouldn't believe that 2 plus 2 equals 4. He wouldn't believe it because I'm a liberal and he's a conservative. And therefore, something as simple as a number, he wouldn't buy. That is the country in which we live right now. A country in which people are not accepting basic numbers. And I need to know what to do about it. Give me a call. 888-48-MARK. 888-488-6275.
I love the poorly educated.
There it is. We'll be right back right after this.
Back to the aggressive progressive, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, talking about, well, education. Defending education. You wouldn't think it would need much of a defense. And I'm not saying everyone has to go to college. I'm certainly not saying that. I certainly think there are many respectable things you can do without going to college. But I still think knowledge is a good thing. I think college is a good thing. I think that people who are experts in a field, whether it be science or medicine or auto mechanics or bodybuilding or politics or policy or popular culture or sports, that people who are experts should at least be listened to. Now, I'm not saying you have to agree with every word they say. No, if you have a logical reason to disagree, if you have some evidence from a reliable source, say, you know what? Doctor, I know you said I need emergency surgery, but let me just ask you something. I read in this medical journal that I might not need surgery. There's this new technique that ties your shoulder together. Do you know about it? Have you heard about it? And the doctor might say, no, I don't know about it. Share with me the medical journal. Or the doctor might say, yeah, I read that. It's kind of a scam. And then would give me data to show that it is. There was a party in the 1850s in America called the Know Nothing Party, K-N-O-W, nothing. And it's interesting because it was sort of an anti-intellectual party, although their point about knowing nothing was actually a different point. It was that if you claimed to be a member of the group, if you asked someone if they were a member of the Know Nothing Party, they were supposed to say, I know nothing, because it was a secret party. It was also very much an anti-immigrant party. Very much a party like, well, in many similar ways to the Trumpists today. But I don't think there's anything wrong with insisting that Donald Trump tell the truth. In fact, I think it's fair to ask the Trumpists if they actually believe him. And if they don't, if they believe Donald Trump is lying, why do they still support him? Or do they think that everything he says is true? Do they think that Ted Cruz's dad may have killed Kennedy? Do they think that he's going to build a wall and make Mexico pay for it? Do they think that when he flip-flops all over the map on policy, that he's telling the truth? Do they think that Barack Obama was born in the United States? These are fair questions because he asserts them as true. And if they don't believe it, if they don't think he's telling the truth, do they think Donald knows he's lying? And if they do think Donald knows he's lying, why do they trust him so much? Why would you trust someone who knows they're lying to you? Nick in California on line 3. Hey, Nick, how are you?
Hey, Mark. It brought to mind, your conversation brought to mind a paper that was written, a research paper that was written in England during the Bush administration, and they were trying to understand why so many people still believe that Bush, you know, was telling the truth and you know, had so much faith in him, kind of along the same lines, right? This is after he started two bogus wars and the economy was starting to tank.
Yeah.
And it was called, it was two, the guys were called Dunning and Kruger. These were the two research scientists. And so
right.
They wrote a paper. It's a short one. It's only a couple pages long. And what I guess the bottom line was, it said, there's some people that really don't know anything, but they're positive they do know all the answers. They're very sure. They act like a lot like Trump. Like, you know, they're sure they got all the answers, even though they've been proven over and over again that they don't. And they found that people that tended to have a little bit more education, or at least read books and stuff, I mean, you don't have to have formal education, there's a lot
right.
of different ways to get it. But people, you know, people that were fairly well-educated, like I said, not necessarily school, but read and talked to people and had an active brain, you know, they tended to, the more they went down that road, the less they felt that they knew everything.
Right.
And so that particular subset of people that were just 100% sure that they knew the answer and they were sure of it, even though you could go to them and say, okay, see, this is the proof that that is not true, they just wouldn't believe you.
Yeah.
They would come up with some reason not to believe you. And that was the Dunning-Kruger effect.
And I have heard of the study. No, I've heard of the study, Nick, and I wanted you to explain it, and you explained it very well, and I want to thank you for sharing that with us. I really do appreciate it.
Sure.
But that's right.
All right. Good luck to you, lad.
Thanks. You know, I was reading in the paper the other day about a woman who has a 5-year-old son who insists that he's right all the time. All the time. And won't accept the fact that his parents happen to know more about things than he does. He's right, he's right, he's right. He's throwing a tantrum. I saw, frankly, The Daily Show last night with Trevor Noah. Showed again this idea of the toddler. No, I'm right. No, I'm right. And you can bring any amount of logic, any amount of, no, I'm right. Well, if someone insists they're right, notwithstanding all logic, you're not going to persuade them. The only way is to hope that they grow up and or show them that they're wrong. At some point, the argument stops. At some point, working class people in America are going to see their lives are worse off. They're going to see that Donald Trump is robbing them blind. They're going to see that he's putting in office a bunch of people that just make billionaires richer. They're going to see that his tax cuts make people who are very wealthy better off. Or they won't see it. Or they won't see it. Or they'll simply continue to blame phantoms, people that have nothing to do with anything. The HHS secretary, Health and Human Services secretary, that Donald Trump is appointing is someone who very much wants to cut the programs that Donald said he would protect. Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. Now, I don't know that he'll do it. I just know that that's his history. But if you have this mantra in your mind where everything is not your fault and everything is someone else's fault, emotion can trump logic. Pardon the pun. And here's the thing. Sometimes that's okay. Sometimes it's okay if emotion trumps logic. I'll give you an example. There's a saying that on her wedding day, a bride is always beautiful. And I agree with that saying. What they're saying is, hey, if you see a bride on her wedding day, tell her she's beautiful. You know what? Lie to her. If she's not a very pretty woman in your mind, which is subjective anyway, never mind. It's her wedding day. She's beautiful. There are such things as little white lies, and I'm all for them. I'm all for being nice to people when it doesn't do any great harm. There's no harm in telling a bride she's beautiful on her wedding day. She is beautiful. Whether or not you think she is objectively beautiful, you know what? She's beautiful. It's her wedding day. Leave it alone. Let it go. I would be the first to tell, I would never tell someone who believed in any religion whatsoever, whatever it may be, that if that religion gives them comfort in time of need, then God bless you. Believe in whatever you need to believe. It could be the flying spaghetti monster. If that's what gives you comfort, who am I to in any way challenge your beliefs? But if your beliefs and your lies cause damage, then I think we have a duty to call them out, right? If someone is using their religion to persecute others, to make others' lives worse off, they want a theocracy. Well, then I'm going to say, no, you know what, ISIS, you don't have the right to believe what you want. You can believe it, but when you start enforcing your Muslim theocracy, it's not even Muslim, it's a radical, frankly perverse offshoot of Islam. It's not Islam. But to the extent that you're using your religion to harm someone else, to the extent that an evangelical Christian is using their religion to harm gay people who aren't of that religion, well, you got to speak out then. Then it matters. Truth matters. If you want to believe in Donald Trump, it doesn't really matter. Heck, if you don't live in a swing state, I guess I didn't really care that much, given our ridiculous electoral college. But if you're voting for a guy that's going to harm you, I'm going to try to warn you. If you start walking off a cliff, I'm going to try to warn you. If you're just walking, it's none of my business. But if you're starting to walk off a cliff, yeah, I'm going to say, look out for that cliff. And you may tell me I'm smug and I think I know so much just because I live in the mountains and I know where the cliffs are. And by the time you tell me all that, you'll fall off the cliff. I'm defending truth today. I'm defending telling people the truth, even if they don't want to hear it. Let's go to Linwood in Virginia on line two. Hey, Linwood, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well. And, you know, this is one of my very strong criticisms of you and many liberals on the white liberal left. You're trying hard to educate a system that's already had its mind made up. White supremacy plays dumb as a strategical tactic. This has nothing to do with education because the majority of white people, regardless of their age or income or background, they heavily vote Republican. So let's just end that whole discussion there.
Wait. Okay.
I think it's a waste of time. I think it's a waste of time that you white liberals continue to consistently try to educate the same white supremacist system in which you benefit off.
Wait, hold on. Linwood, one second. Let's just get our words straight here. You can't educate a system. You can educate individuals. I think what you're telling me is that individuals, that white people are uneducable. I think that's what you're telling me, but I'm not sure because you can't educate a system. So maybe you could be a little more precise and tell me what you're complaining about.
The system of white supremacy is a system built on dominance and it's built on greatness. And you're trying to educate this system out in which you yourself as a white liberal Jew benefit from. The only way you're going to destroy the system of white supremacy is to place it with the system of justice. And if you don't have justice, then you're wasting your time and your breath trying to sit here and educate us and tell us, oh, you know, we're going to stand for truth. The truth is in the pudding. These people love Donald Trump because, one, he looks like them. Two, he resembles what their ideals and beliefs are about this country are. And three, they want to be just like him when they grow up, if they ever grow up.
Okay, but Linwood, there's more than one kind of person who votes, all right? I will agree with you. There's some people who are irredeemable white supremacists. I don't dispute that at all. But, you know, President Obama won his election, and he won a lot of white people. And I don't think all white people are hopeless. I don't even think all Trump voters are hopeless. So, yeah, I may not be able to persuade some of them, but are you saying that all of them are non-persuadable?
This is a limitation like this. If you start putting the system of justice, you yourself will turn liberal, turn conservative real fast. This is about a constructive system to keep dominance and control over those that are non-white. Now, you want to sit, you white liberals, y'all want to sit here.
Did President Obama defend that system that you're talking about?
Problem. You can't do it.
Hi, Linwood, are you saying that President Obama defended that system as well?
Yes.
Okay, so President Obama was a white supremacist. So President Obama was a white supremacist.
You cannot blame a prisoner of the system, just like I'm a prisoner of the system.
So then, was President Obama a white supremacist in your view?
He was a prisoner of white supremacy. He's a prisoner.
All right. Well, we will definitely disagree on this. My view, as you know, is that you can work within the system to change the system. It's something that, I have tried to do for my entire life,
and I'll continue.
Well, I support justice, and I support working within the system to get justice, and I don't think everyone's hopeless. So I'm going to move on to another caller, but I appreciate your call and even your criticism. Let's go to Kevin in Santa Fe on line 3. Hey, Kevin, how are you?
I was being a little overdramatic by saying what university you lived in, but what I meant is I can't ignore the fact that they just did a survey of Republicans and found out that a large percentage of them believe that Obama was in charge during the financial meltdown of 2007.
Yeah, a bunch of them even believe he was born in Kenya.
Deal with facts.
That's right. So how do you fight people who are living in an alternative fact universe? Some people are actually suggesting that we liberals give up on facts, that if emotion always trumps logic, we should give up on logic, give up on education, give up on facts, and just, you know, fight them based on emotion and, I don't know, raw physical power, maybe. But I don't think that's an option. I don't think giving up facts and education are an option. I don't think it's a good option, certainly. What do you think?
Well, I was more addressing just the I wanted to address your statement that it's like after 4 years or something we can fix it or we'll oppose and certain people will stand up and oppose them. One of the things that scares me most is the similarity between, you know, certain people they study and Steve Bannon being in charge of essentially a propaganda arm.
Right, he's the Secretary of Innuendo.
Does not have to obey any truth.
No. In fact, I would say that Donald Trump is really following the model of the great Nazi propagandist Joseph Goebbels very well, the big lie. Because what he's doing is he's propagating big lie after big lie after big lie, and the news media is largely focusing on his ridiculous lies on Twitter and not focusing on the fact that he's stealing America blind, that he's basically causing the Secret Service to spend $1 billion to defend him. Now, think about this. He's charging America. He's making a profit off these very brave Secret Service agents that are defending him. And he's, you know, making deals with Scotland and everything. He's trying to use the presidency to promote his business. And that's something that I think is gross enough that everyone, conservative and liberal alike, can condemn it. But don't focus on that. Focus on this. Focus on flag burning. Focus on, some ridiculous tweet about California, whatever it is. And don't focus on the fact that he's a con man stealing us blind. And I just go back to that wonderful quote. Well, sad, really, quote of Lyndon Baines Johnson, which said that if you tell the lowest colored man that he's better than the highest, you tell the lowest white man that he's better than the highest colored man, he won't care while you pick his pocket. In fact, he'll empty his pockets for you. And that's exactly how the con works. You know, if you go to Three Card Monty, where the guy puts the cards around or puts the ball underneath or any kind of magic trick, right? There's misdirection. Look over there. In the meantime, the stuff is going on over here. Donald Trump is purposely using lies and deception and really radical lies to basically draw our attention away from the fact that he's stealing us blind. And I just wonder when, if ever, people will see that, or whether we shouldn't talk about it.
Do you think there's any hope of a deus ex machina with the Electoral College?
I actually think that we can get rid of the Electoral College. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it's going to happen anytime soon. But I'm enough of an optimist, unlike Lindwood, who seems to think that we're all going to hell forever. I'm enough of an optimist to think there is a way. My personal way to do it is what's called the National Popular Vote. It's a way where we won't need a constitutional amendment. We won't need two-thirds of Congress and three-quarters of the states, which is really very, very hard to do. We simply need to get a majority of the electors, the electoral count in states. California and New York have already agreed to this. I will press my home state of Virginia to agree to give their electoral votes, totaling more than 270, to the winner of the popular vote. And we can finally get rid of this 230-year-old system that I think is certainly outdated and anachronistic. So I think it can happen. I'm not going to claim it's easy, but I don't think at all it's impossible. I think it's something that I certainly plan to work toward, and I hope you do as well, Kevin.
You know what really rubs my
real quick, and then I got to take a break.
Spurs.
Yeah.
It's that we have more votes, and if you allow for the voter suppression, we actually won. We did turn out for Hillary.
Well, she won the popular vote. She had 2.3 million by last count. It may have gone up since we talked. But yeah, the Electoral College is a screwy, undemocratic system. It is our Constitution. It is legal. But it happens to be undemocratic and certainly something that I'd like to get rid of. Thanks for your call, Kevin. I'll take more calls when we come back. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Back after this.
He's a Harvard economist and a Yale lawyer. He does not keep up with the Kardashians. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Only have a couple minutes left. My topic is, why don't people respect education and intelligence? We seem to respect the auto mechanic who knows his business, the doctor who knows her business. We know the bodybuilder. We know whether someone's taller than we are or not. But somehow, education and intelligence appear to be looked down upon in Trump land. I have the caller, I believe the same one I had on Monday, Robert from Asheville on line one. Go ahead, Robert. Our time's short, though. You're on the air, Robert. Line one.
He's there. He's just not talking. I don't know why.
All right, Robert, I'm giving you your chance to speak. Okay.
All right, we'll try again.
Fine. Later. Well, Robert, if people listen to Monday's show, I thought it was very, very interesting because Robert personified the Trumpist that I'm most concerned about, the one who is basing his beliefs on prejudice. He said at the time on Monday that he was complaining that we shouldn't call Trumpists racist, and then he just proceeded to show that he hated Jews. So, fine, Robert, you're a neo-Nazi. I can't say that you're a racist. Let's see how much time we have. We've got Jake in California. Real quick, Jake, line two.
Hey, this is Robert.
Oh, they must have messed up the lines. Okay,
no,
go ahead, Robert.
Fine. Now, tell me who Bill Clinton's Treasury Secretary was.
Bill Clinton's Treasury Secretary.
On,
Robert, don't remember offhand.
Yeah, you almost had it. Robert Rubin. Now, he's the guy.
Robert Rubin, that's it.
Social Security. That's right. He's the guy that stole Social Security. So that's how he was able to balance the deficit. And remember, it was Al Gore who said, no, that's a lockbox. That's a lockbox.
That's right. I supported Al Gore keeping it in a lockbox rather than George Bush taking out of it and using it for his wars. So that's certainly something I defended. It's all the time we have, folks. I'll be back next Monday. Until then, it's okay to be educated. This is Mark Levine, signing off.